Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 15th, 2008, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, the Drobo robotic hard drive for backup. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I have been really busy with this wacky kind of stuff. You know, a few weeks ago, I did network printing, you know, where I had multiple printers set up on a network trying to solve one problem, which was just printer wires and computers sort of everywhere making my life crazy. Well, the other thing that has been making my life crazy, and especially in this age of RAW files, is dealing with archiving and backup. And you know, we talk about it off and on. We've been talking about it ever since I've been doing the Digital Story Show. And it's still been a lot of talk and not a whole lot of get the darn thing figured out. Well, I'm not sure that I'm quite there yet with the ultimate solution, and I wish I could just lay it out for you, point one, two, three, and then all of us go back to taking pictures and worrying about hanging on to them. But I have made some headway, and I've tested a new thing called the Drobo, D-R-O-B-O. It's a robotic hard drive array, and I'm going to explain more about it here in a few minutes. And I've sort of added it to my overall backup strategy. Now, you know, sometimes I sort of feel like I just keep adding things and I keep adding redundancy, which is a good thing. Redundancy is a good thing, without actually really ever solving my problem, which is spending too much time on backup. So I'm not sure. I still may be in that position, and you may listen to the show and go, yeah, sorry, buddy. Haven't really moved the ball forward on this one. Or you may go, you know what? There's a few things here that I might be interested in that will help me as I wrestle with my archiving stuff. So we'll see where we end up at the end of the show. I will start by telling you what I've been doing for the last few days. So let's just start with the Drobo itself. Now, if you haven't heard about this thing, it's been around for a few months. And what it is, it's a data robot. And it sounds kind of scary, right, when you say that, you know, because I wrote a web blog post about it on the Digital Story where I just kind of mapped out the whole thing because it was too long to put in the show notes for this. So I'll just link to it in the show notes so you can read, you know, the whole Drobo review. But essentially what it is, it's a box. Right, as most things are in technology, some sort of box. It's a box that you plug into the wall for power, and then it has a USB port that you can either plug into your computer or you can plug it into a network, which is what I've done. And then in the front of it, it has four open bays. And what you're supposed to do with those open bays is put hard drives in them. And you can put in basically any size hard drive that you want. You use the SATA drives, the SATA drives, and those are just the regular full-size hard drives like you have in your desktop computer, you know. And the cool thing about them, unlike the kind of drives that I have been using, which are external hard drives and enclosures, is that you can buy these hard drives. You can get a lot of storage for a lot cheaper because all you're buying is the hard drive itself. I mean, you know, you get it in the mail or you go to wherever you go to buy this stuff. Lately, I've been having to use Staples because the CompUSA here in Santa Rosa folded its tent and went away. And so, you know, you just buy the box, you open it up, and there's a hard drive, right? No connectors, no anything, just a hard drive. And so you save a lot of money because you don't have the enclosure and the power supply and, you know, all that fans and all that sort of stuff that you need when you buy a standalone unit, like a FireWire hard drive unit. So, you know, you can buy these drives, and then all you do is you put them in the Drobo, and they just slide right in. And what's really weird about it is that, you know, the Drobo can be running or whatever, and you put it in and it goes, oh, I got a new drive. And then it goes to work and it'll format it for you according to whatever you've already set up when you initially set up the Drobo. And it just sort of adds it to its pool of hard drives. Now, what Drobo does, this is where it gets even trippier. What Drobo does is that it takes all the hard drives that are available. Like right now, I only have two in mine, and it has four slots. And I have two 750 gig hard drives in there. So what it does, it takes all that resource, which is basically, what, a terabyte and a half. And it says, all right, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to create a pool. So in essence, it becomes just one hard drive, no matter how many hard drives you have in there. And then it does a little robotic magic where it creates redundancy in there, and it it monitors and it optimizes and it does all sorts of stuff. The thinking being that if one of your drives go down in the Drobo, then your information, you know, no matter where it was, is still protected. And it does that through a little Drobo magic, a little compression. And it sets aside some space to do that. So it's pretty wild and pretty fun, pretty interesting sort of thing. So what's really nice about it from a photographer point of view is that you set this thing up and you put your pictures on there. And that's sort of what I'm talking about today, using it as a photo archive. And then at least locally, where you are, you don't have to think about backup anymore. Because if you put your pictures on the Drobo, on this drive array, then it handles the redundancy, the backup, you know, optimization, continues to check the drives, all that sort of stuff. It just takes care of all that for you. You don't even have to think about it. So locally, you're done. Once you put the pictures on the Drobo, you're done. I've added a couple little twists to it because I like to catalog those pictures too, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but essentially you're done. Now, the thing, obviously, that it doesn't solve is you have redundancy in one location, right? So right here at my studio, I'm golden, right? But if something were to happen to my studio, let's say a jet plane fell out of the air and landed on my studio and squashed my Drobo, then I better have my pictures somewhere else also, or I'm in big trouble. So that part it doesn't solve, but we all know that, right? So it's not just good enough to have backup strategy locally, then you also have to have, you know, your pictures, or at least your best pictures, which is what a lot of folks do. They'll take their absolute best pictures, put them on DVDs, and then put them somewhere else, so that if the worst case scenario happens, you still have a certain amount of your stuff, and hopefully the stuff that you really want. But locally, Drobo does a pretty good job. Now, so where do we go from here? How does that work into my overall picture handling plan? Well, there's a couple things. First of all, Drobo is a USB 2.0. It's not a FireWire drive. And so there's good things and bad things about that. The good thing is, with a USB 2.0 drive, and especially if you're a Mac user, but essentially if you're Mac or Windows, is that they're easy to put on a network. So, you know, when I was talking about setting up my network printing, essentially what I did is I upgraded my network here at the studio with a new AirPort Extreme, the kind that goes up to 802.11n, N as in Nancy. So I upgraded it so I had as much bandwidth as possible. And then I put a four port USB 2 hub. All these numbers. I'm a photographer. All these numbers are, well, I'm not getting my geek on very well today here. So I put a four port USB 2.0 hub and I plug that into the USB port in my AirPort Extreme. So then, of course, the thinking is now I can put up to four USB devices on the network. And that way, any computer that is on the network that's in my studio here can see whatever I've plugged into those USB ports. So I filled up the first three ports with printers, which is, that was, you know, job one, to have network printing so that, you know, I could open up any of my laptops and off I go. And I saved one port. And so that one open, in fact, it's funny, if you go back and look at the show notes for the network printing podcast that I ran a couple weeks ago, I have a picture of my setup. And you'll notice that in that on that USB hub that's sitting underneath the Airport Extreme access point, you'll notice that there's an open USB port there. Well, that port was for the Drobo, which I knew I was going to do, and it's just a matter of getting to it. I had to go to Orlando and get some projects finished. And I try to be very disciplined about this stuff because I know once I open the box that has the Drobo in it, I can't just look at it. I'm going to have to play with it. So when they come, I actually just hide them from myself. I just put the box away so I can't see it to make sure that I get my projects done or whatever is, you know, whatever the hottest fire is at the moment. Knowing that when I do open that box, I'm going to end up spending a whole day, usually a whole weekend, on getting it going. And of course, that's exactly what happened with the Drobo. I spent this whole past weekend doing the whole network hard drive backup thing. So anyway, so I set up the Drobo. And the thing that you have to do first, if you're, and especially if you're on a Mac, but I think this is true for Windows users also, is that the first time you use the Drobo, you want to plug it in directly to your computer, not on the network, because it comes with this application called Dashboard. And what it allows you to do, the dashboard, is that for the first time, it allows you to kind of configure the Drobo so it knows, you know, what file system you want to use. Do you want to use, you know, FAT32? Or if you're on a Mac, you know, do you want to use, you know, HFS? You know, that sort of thing. And you, all you have to do is just go with it, its recommendations. Like, if you're going to have a Mac-only network, just go with the Mac formatting and you're done. It takes care of it for you. So once you do that once, then, you know, your Drobo sort of set up. Then you can disconnect it from your computer, put it in that open port on your network, and then you can access it through your network. So then that means that any computer that's in your environment that can see your network then can read and write to that Drobo drive array. And this is where it gets really cool now, right? Because I bring in any laptop, or I bring in any laptop with my little portable hard drive plugged into it, the hard drive that I've been writing pictures to while I've been out in the field and doing work. I just bring it into the studio and open up the laptop, and I access the Drobo, and I can just copy my master files right off my laptop onto the Drobo, and then they're backed up. You know, at least locally, boom, they're backed up. And I can do that with any computer or any little hard drive or any sort of anything. And it works pretty well. Now, the one caveat, or the one thing it kind of hit, I started out copying some big archives to the Drobo. I'm such a mean guy, you know. You set up this little thing, and right away, boom, 15 gigabytes. What do you think about that, buddy? But that's what I did. Because, I mean, you know, I got big stuff. That's why I've got this problem in the first place. So, and it took, actually it was a 14 gigabyte archive, it was an Aperture archive, and it took 90 minutes. And so I'm going, wow, that seems a little slow. You know, is my network, you know, bad or whatever? Well, it isn't actually. And so I did some research, and all this is in the article that I published on Digital Story about this, is that even with a fast network, in this case, a 802.11n network, which is not too bad, it's nothing compared to if you just plug, you know, the device directly into your computer, or if you're using, you know, a super high speed Ethernet network. Those are all faster. So that's the trade-off. If you have this device on your network, and even with a good network, with a high performance network, it's not going to copy as fast as you're used to. Now, I have to say, after I got over that initial shock with those ginormous archives that I was just setting up the device with. Now, of course, I'm bringing in, you know, 2 gigabyte cards, 4 gigabyte cards, you know, out of the 5D or whatever camera I'm shooting with, and just putting them on the memory card reader on a computer, And I, you know, at first I upload the images into Aperture or Lightroom, depending on what I'm using, do that thing. And then I just take those same, I leave the card connected to the computer, and I copy the masters again onto the Drobo. So when it's just doing a couple gigabytes at a time, it's not bad at all. It's just like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. And you don't think about it. It's not like the huge, well, actually it'd be more like 10 minutes, I think. But I don't really notice because, you know, copying happens in the background anyway. So I'm doing other stuff. And by the time I look up or starting to get impatient, it's usually done. So in real world use, it's not bad, right? It's just when you start doing, you know, 10 or more gigabytes, then it feels like it's taking too long. Okay, so that was the first part. Then the next part was, all right, so now I got all these pictures on the Drobo, right? And, you know, I break them up into master images or images that have been altered in some way, yada, yada, yada. So I have a few folders on there. And then within those folders, I usually, the way I do my masters is location, you know, some sort of one-word description, and then month and year. And, you know, that just helps me kind of narrow it down when I'm looking for them. But I was going, boy, I could see where this could just get real messy real quick in terms of suddenly you have a terabyte or 2 terabytes of photos on here. You know, I'm going to need some way to find them. So the software that I used to use was actually originally written for cataloging CDs. And he's continued to, I'm not even going to say it right, he's continued to evolve it, but, you know, it just takes forever to catalog. And I knew I didn't want to use that. So I had a copy of Microsoft Expression that came with my, I got the, you know, when I bought Office 2008 for the Mac, you know, they have these different bundles, and one of the bundles is Office 2008 plus Expression Media. So, you know, Expression Media, that, you know, is what Microsoft has now. It used to be iView Media Pro, and then Microsoft acquired them. And we were all worried when they did that because there was a Mac version and a Windows version. And we were concerned that they might kill the Mac version, and they didn't. Actually, they've continued to improve it, which is absolutely terrific. And they've said that, you know, yes, we're keeping the Mac version too. So that's good news for all of us. So iView Media Pro, which is now Expression Media by Microsoft, is actually a really good cataloging software. It's very robust. It's been around for a long time. The database is great. It has all sorts of terrific features for looking at your images, for finding your images, for categorizing your images, and even for doing things like playing slideshows and generating PDFs. Pretty cool stuff. So I thought, you know, that's the perfect thing then to catalog the Drobo. And so then I loaded up Expression Media on my main computer here in the studio, sort of the master computer that runs everything. And then I cataloged the, you know, the pictures that were on the Drobo. And now suddenly, you know, I have, this is where it gets kind of cool. So all the masters, of course, reside on the array on the Drobo. And then, but when I wander off, you know, I can take the picture catalog with me, and I can search for pictures and do all sorts of stuff with them and still be able to find them. Okay, so Expression Media and Drobo and Network all work together pretty well. That's a pretty good system. And if that's all I did, I'd probably be pretty far ahead of the game. But of course, then I also have Aperture and Lightroom and iPhoto. So now, you know, I'm back into more redundancy than I want, because I don't want to give up Aperture. I don't want to give up Lightroom. I like them too much. But you can't back up over a network. And especially with Aperture, you know, what I really want to do is set up a vault on the Drobo. And then when I come into the studio after a shoot, you know, think all my stuff's already in Aperture because I loaded it up in the field. Then wouldn't it be great just to come and update the vault on the Drobo and off you go? But you can't do that because Aperture won't recognize any vault that's on a network. It has to be on a FireWire hard drive that's plugged into the computer. So nuts to that, right? So here's my system right now. This is the part where you may go, Derek, I'm not quite sure you're moving the ball forward. So I maintain an aperture, and I maintain both aperture and Lightroom libraries, depending on the camera and the shoot and all that sort of stuff. And I keep those on little external hard drives that I carry with my laptop. So the libraries live on there. So then when I come into the studio, then I have just a regular standalone 500 gigabyte FireWire drive that has the aperture vault on it, or the backups for Lightroom. And I plug in my laptop to that, and I do a backup. And what that does is that actually backs up my aperture library or my Lightroom library. So that way, if my library ever fails, then all I have to do is restore using these things. All my metadata is there. All my albums are there. All my web pages are there. Everything that I've done in those applications comes back to life. So that's pretty nice. Now, the extra thing that I do is that then I also have the master files still on my card. And I like to keep things in two places at all times. So until I've actually done some backing up, I don't reformat my memory cards. I just carry enough memory cards with me so that I can just put a new one in. And then at some point, once I'm happy that I have enough redundancy, then I'll reformat the cards and put them back in the camera case. So now the other thing that I do is then I take those pictures off the cards and I copy them onto the Drobo. And I have Expression Media set up so that it watches the Drobo. And whenever new data goes onto it, then Expression Media will update its catalog too. So then I have, my masters inside Lightroom or inside of Aperture, nice and safe and sound. I get to play with them in there and do all the sort of stuff I want to do. And then I also have them on the Drobo. Now, the last thing that I do, and of course Expression Media is cataloging them on the Drobo. Now, the last thing that I do is that when I go somewhere else, let's say my office at O'Reilly or home or something, I have a FireWire drives there too, and I can do a vault backup, of Aperture or a Lightroom backup on those FireWire drives, and I have redundancy. So I'm not going to do redundancy on the master files that are on the Drobo. Just those loose pictures that are cataloged by date and folder and all that. What happens right here is what happens right here, but I will have redundancy with my Lightroom and my Aperture catalogs in a couple different places. So that, as I even listen to myself talk about it, that sounds somewhat complicated, right? But believe it or not, it's better than where I was a year ago. So I, at least now I have a way to network wise catalog just master files and so forth. Now, one of the refinements that I might do, and I was thinking about this as I was thinking about doing this show, is that what if I didn't take all the images off my memory cards and put them on the Drobo? What if I did this instead, which is put them into, let's say I'll do an Aperture workflow here. Let's say that I put them into Aperture first, right? So everything goes in Aperture, and then I do my photo editing, my rating of them, and I just call out, I just say the four and three star ones, the ones that I consider keepable images. And then I export those out of Aperture as masters, but I'm just exporting the so-called good shots. And then I put that on the Drobo. So I could probably automate that some way with Apple Script or something. And then that I would be writing less material onto the Drobo. The downside to that is, of course, and this is what makes archiving and backup such a wild ride. The downside is that then I'm not backing up all of my stuff. And so how about that shot that didn't mean anything to me when I took it, and then years later we find out that person in there, is Monica Lewinsky or something, and it would be gone. Or maybe somewhere in my Aperture library, maybe not. So that's a problem the minute you start, getting selective and not backing everything up. So for the moment, I'm just going to put everything on the Drobo and as my ultimate master backup, and then continue to use Lightroom and Aperture. So that sort of leads me to a couple things. One is, I'd be curious to see what you thought about all of this and what you're doing. And it'd be great if you posted a comment on the show notes just saying, you know, I have a suggestion for your workflow to sort of help you out there. Or if you just had something that was just altogether cooler than what I'm talking about. And then the other thing I'm curious about is that if you've tried a Drobo, what you think about it. Because at first, you know, I didn't know what to think about it. First, I thought it was cool, and then I was a little disappointed with the read-write speed. And then, but now that I've been using it for a couple days, I'm sort of really excited about it because it seems to be working really well. And I do think that it is an affordable. The Drobo itself costs for about $460 US. And then each hard drive that you put in, it costs anywhere from, you know, 100 to 200, depending on how big of a drive you get. So suddenly you can get really easily 2 terabytes of storage for, you know, a reasonable amount of money. It hurt when I bought it, just because it seemed like a big cash outlay at the time. But consider what I'm, you know, compared to buying standalone FireWire drives and so forth, without the redundancy, is suddenly not feeling quite so bad. So anyway, so those are that's my Drobo experience. That's the state of backup right now for me and archiving. I'd love to hear your comments. I guess I should cover a little virtual camera club business. First thing, photo assignment. The photo assignment for April 2008 is Angular. And I have high hopes for this one because there are so many cool interpretations of Angular, and there's so many neat Angular sort of things happening out there in the world. I think we'll get some good stuff. We always get good stuff, actually. I love looking at the galleries for the photo assignments. So Angular is the photo assignment for this month. Grab shots, please send in something if you're sitting on something. And also, I just want to remind you about Digital Photography Companion. The book is out. There's a link on the Digital Story website to make it easy for you to order. It's if you're in the U.S., it's like $16.49 or something. And it is our official Digital Story manual. So, I'll tell you, if you do order one and you'd like it signed, I have author's plates, and all you have to do is drop me a note with your address and let me know how many books you bought, and I will send you back a signed author plate. I've already sent a whole bunch of them out. So, I'd be more than happy to accommodate you that way, since you've been so kind to buy the book. And then also just want to thank our sponsors, Photomagico by Boink Software, Expo Imaging. Hey, and those Expo Imaging guys, the Expo Disc guys, they have a new product. And in fact, I'm going to change the tile on the site called Raygun, which is a little ring light, an affordable ring light for your camera. For that sort of flash photography. It looks kind of cool. I haven't had a chance to test it yet, but I'll be putting some stuff up on the site by them with a link to all the stuff on their site. And then also Lopro Bags. I want to thank them very much. They're a cool sponsor, and they're supposedly working on some stuff for us. And then pretty soon a new sponsor. So so that'll do it for this week. I hope you somewhat enjoyed my ramblings about this network stuff. And if nothing else, I hope it at least keeps you thinking about what am I doing to protect my pictures and to archive. And even if I'm not going to buy a Drobo or set up a network or whatever, you know, I need to be doing something. And that's really the message from today's show. All right, now that you've been boggled with all this computer geeky stuff, go out there and take some pictures. Send some to me, and I will see you here on The Digital Story next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.